Hi, my name is RJ, and this week we'll be demonstrating various multimedia tools for the manipulation of images, audio, and video. In this video, we'll be talking about pieces of software used to manipulate audio. We'll be mentioning specific tools and techniques, but the real lesson here lies in exploring software tools in general. In this video in particular, we'll be looking at GarageBand and Audacity, two tools used to manipulate audio. So let's just dive right in. GarageBand is a Mac-only software produced by Apple. So if we open up GarageBand, it takes a second because it's a big program. We can start a new project. It asks us what instrument we want to use, so I'll just choose piano. It also asks us to give our project a name, and I'll call it My Song 2 because I did My Song 1 last night. So here we have the general interface for GarageBand. It allows us to arrange things into different tracks. So here we have one track, which is the grand piano track, and currently there's nothing in it. So GarageBand also allows us to record, either through instruments you plug into your computer or through the internal-based keyboard. So here, since I don't have my electric guitar or killer drum set, we can use the internal keyboard. So to start, you click the record button, and then you play on the keyboard. Just kind of play around, pressing whatever notes you like. And we can see as you record that it shows us up here the notes we're playing. I'll hit stop. So here we have our recording. Now it's not the most interesting recording, but we can play it back by starting over our track and hitting play. This red line will always follow sort of what's being played and will highlight the keys as they're being played. That's the basic creation in GarageBand. GarageBand really is a tool for creating audio. But in addition, we can manipulate audio. So we have this piece here, and I can move it around if I want to make it go earlier or later in our recording. And I can also do things like split it up. So we see here that there's this large empty space, and that's not that interesting. That was because I stopped and I hadn't thought of something to play. If we move our slider to the middle there, I can hit Edit, Split, or just Command T, and it will make a breakpoint at that point. And now I have two pieces that I can move around. And I can actually overlap and cut off what was previously empty space. In addition, if I hover over the edge of one of these pieces, I can change their size. So here I'm cutting in and sort of cutting off what was empty space. So if I move my slider back a bit and hit play again, we can see that we jump right over what was that breakpoint. And there's now less of a gap. In addition, in GarageBand, in addition to making things longer or shorter, we can also loop them. So if you move your cursor up a bit onto the corner of one of these pieces, you get a rotation icon. And if you slide that, it now duplicates what you previously had. So that's pretty cool. But this whole time, we've been dealing in one track. So we can actually make multiple tracks. So if I want to add a new track, I can do track, new track. I can pick an instrument. We'll just make a piano one again. And I can actually copy and paste these pieces. So if I use Command C and Command V, or Edit Copy and Edit Paste, it pasted in there. You can undo with Command Z. If you click the other track and hit Edit Paste, it'll paste in what you copied. And it'll paste it from the point of the red line. We can also slide it. So now, if I start this over and play again, we'll have two pieces being played at once. Now, because it was just me hammering on the piano, it's not going to be the prettiest sound, but we can actually hear it if I hit play. So there we have two tracks going at once. And you can imagine that if you add in new instruments and more tracks, you can actually get a pretty cool sound. So let's try one more thing. Down in the corner here, we have this loop icon. If I click that, it will show the loop browser. So it has a various loops, which are Apple's word here for sort of pre-recorded sound. So if I hit, say, synth, it'll let me browse the synth loops. And I can just drag them right in. So here we have 80s dance bass synth number 6, which is a really cool synth developed probably not in the 80s, but to mimic the style of the 80s. And like before, we can, if I zoom in, we can slide and loop this. So now I've added kind of a bass synth line to my already existing recording. So let's give that a listen. And just like that, I've transformed what was a regular old sort of piano piece into a pretty cool 80s dance synth piano piece. Obviously, those with more musical talent and more time can create a more interesting piece of music. So one more piece of software I'd like to show is Audacity. Audacity is a piece of software that is multi-platform. It's Mac, PC, and Linux. And if I open up that, we can actually see a very similar interface. So Audacity focuses, again, on recording and editing audio. It's a very powerful tool. It doesn't have some of the more playful pieces that GarageBand has. It doesn't have the pre-recorded loops or the pre-recorded loops or the variety of instruments that GarageBand has, but it's a very, very powerful tool. So in this case, I'm going to use it to edit an already existing file. So in GarageBand, we started from nothing, although we could have opened up an MP3 or something. In Audacity, I'm going to explicitly open an MP3 file. So here, I opened an MP3 that I've downloaded from online, and we'll wait a minute for it to sort of be loaded into Audacity. So here I have a file that I downloaded from online, and I've loaded into Audacity. And the name might give it away, but let's see if you recognize it.
Has to have a public IP address, right? Else there'd be no way for me to get there if it's on a different network.
If you guessed Alex Trebek, you're wrong. That was Tommy, lecture 3 in particular. So here we have the whole hour and 45 minutes of Tommy's third lecture, and while that's great and really long, there's only a piece of it that I actually want. So Audacity here visualizes the entire sort of audio clip, and it gives you a lot of options for making it louder or quieter or scaling things up or down. And I'm not even going to touch any of those advanced options. I'm just going to work on splitting it up and cutting out the piece that I want. So here we have the selection tool selected, and we can use that to select a portion of our audio piece. I'm not really going to call it a song, because it's just Tommy talking for an hour and 45 minutes. So I'll just call it an audio piece. If you click and drag, we can see that we've selected in gray a region of music here. And down at the bottom, Audacity tells us what time we started our selection and the end or the length. And you can actually manually edit these numbers if you know specifically where and when you want to select. So if I want to select instead of 16 from 17 minutes and maybe 25 seconds, and I want to only record for 3 minutes and 26 seconds, now the selection has changed to reflect that shorter length and that new position. Audacity lets you export what you've selected by hitting Export Selection. And you can change the file type, so I'll name it MP3, and we'll call it the Lecture 3 portion. And we'll save that file on our desktop so we don't lose it. It also asks for information like artist and track title, things that would show up in iTunes. But since this isn't really a song and we're only using it for a little bit, I don't care about that. And so I'll just hit OK. Takes about 10 seconds to encode this portion, and then we'll have that MP3 file. So I've used Audacity for a very simple thing here, just selecting out a portion of an MP3 file. But you can definitely use it for a lot more things, for re-encoding audio, for changing the tempo or the speed, for making things longer or shorter, changing the pitch, which for Tommy might be helpful because his voice tends to get pretty high. So in all sorts of other things that a real power user of Audacity might want to do. I'm not really a power user, so we're going to leave Audacity for now and go back to GarageBand. Now, if I go to my desktop, I have this file called lecture3portion.mp3, and I can drag that right into GarageBand. So now we have this 3-minute piece of Tommy talking in our song. So let's start our song over and see what happens.
Network, because you're communicating across the network. Does that make sense? That terminology makes sense?
So, and if we can't let it keep going, we'd hear Tommy continue to talk, maybe over here a bit.
And that router is connected to another router.
At that point, notice that the green, our instruments from before, no longer are lined up because we've sort of stopped those. So we don't hear them along with Tommy talking. I can extend them if I'd like. And if I hit play again,
happens to be another network.
We have music along with Tommy. If you double click one of these bars, it brings up sort of an editing window where you can possibly up the auto tuning, which is helpful for sort of making a voice sound more musical. You can change the tempo or the pitch, as well as other options down here. In one of our instruments, you can actually manually edit each minor split second of audio to add notes where you previously hadn't had them. So this has been a pretty basic overview of the things GarageBand can do. But I want to show you one last thing, which is a song I made earlier using just these techniques, Audacity for cropping out audio, the pre-recorded loops, the splitting and the copying, and I want to see if you like it. So let's open up. We'll save this. Let's open up the Tommy Ben remix. Let's give it a listen. Well, actually, before we give it a listen, let's take a look at what we have. We have what looks to be 5 or 6 tracks. We've got some orange pieces that were the audio from before, some green synth, what looks to be 80s dance bass synth 6 again, our good friend, as well as Cordal Synth Pattern 3, which we hadn't heard before. And we have here some pieces that I copied and pasted. So notice that these two orange pieces look very similar, as well as one of those loops from before. So notice the pattern here that makes it loop over and over again. So you might expect that the song is a little repetitive, like pop songs tend to be. Let's see what it sounds like.
So an IP address is simply a way of uniquely identifying a device on the internet. So an IP address is simply a way of uniquely identifying a device on the internet.
157.166.226.26.
So an IP address is simply a way of uniquely identifying a device on the internet.
157.166.226.26. 157.166.226.26.
So an IP address is simply a way of uniquely identifying a device on the internet.
So that was my recording debut. That was a song I put together last night using the techniques in GarageBand. And really, you can do a whole lot. You can record yourself if you have a microphone, or if you have an MP3 of yourself, like I did with Ben and Tommy. You can plug in sort of an electric guitar and record that, as well as using the built-in tools. So I hope that I've been able to expose you to a bit of what GarageBand can do. But really, I encourage you to, when you're using a tool like GarageBand or Audacity or another piece of software, to try things out, to look in the menu and sort of hover over something and take a look at what it's called. And if you don't know what it does, maybe do a Google search for, the GarageBand synth tool. Or if I hover down here, we see this is called the loop browser. So if you don't know what it does, you can Google GarageBand loop browser. Because these pieces of software are so complex, and even though you can follow tutorials to do the little things, it's really helpful to sort of explore and try things out. My name is RJ, and this was Audio Remixing in GarageBand and Audacity.